Matt Dillmore, along with
Matt Osberg.
We are joined graciously this holiday season by Padre Estrada. Father Estrada, thank you so much for lending your time and tutelage to Pussyfoot. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Matt and
Matt.
I'm Father Richard Estrada, and I'm an associate pastor here at Our Lady Queen of Angels, La Placita Church, in Los Angeles. I am a Claritian missionary. That's the religious order that I belong to. I'm also the founder and director of a nonprofit organization, a youth organization called Jóvenes Inc. Jóvenes means youth, and it's focused on providing services to immigrant homeless youth here in the downtown area of Los Angeles. So, anyway, thank you for your interest in this wonderful place. I'll try to give you a little thumbnail sketch of where we're at right now. The Pueblo of Los Angeles was the historical birthplace. This is where it all began, with 12, 16 families that came in to found a city, and they were promised a little bit of land after a year or two if they brought them here, and if they would cultivate the land, and they did. One of the first things that they did was set up a plaza and little houses, and then they built a little church, because they came from a mission. So they did near the LA River. And the LA River is really, right now it's encased in cement, but it was really a wild river right through the Pueblo. On a rainy season, it took the little church, adobe church. Then they built it again, a little higher ground, and an earthquake came in and took it away. So where we're at now is the third site. This was built by Mexicans for the Mexican community. It's important to say that because there was, at the time, they were building the city quickly, fast, you know, and it started spreading out towards, south of here, 2nd Street to 3rd Street, and that was like the professional people lived over there, mm-hmm. And they wanted their own church, their own cathedral, and this little church that was built of adobe was built by the working class people here. Their church was really not acceptable, we'll say, for the professional people. They wanted a Gothic-looking church, which they did. It's called St. Viviana's Cathedral. So this little church remained and has been historically the gathering place of Latinos, Mexican people first, and then just a mixture of Latino immigrants come here. They feel like this is their church. We speak Spanish, we're bilingual, we have many masses. It's a very familiar culture to them. And we just, we're right now in the final days of what we call La Posadas, 9 days before Christmas. And it's a tradition that we do the Posadas. The Posada is a reenactment of Mary and Joseph in their journey to Jerusalem to find a place for the birth of Jesus. We understand it very much of the journey and how she was not accepted, and people said no to them. There's no room at the inn. And finally, it was in a stable where they gave posada, or they gave welcome. So that says a lot to us, because that's our life, you know? And I'm talking about rejection, and really as being a part of society, a very important part of society. We have a lot of gifts, we have a lot of culture to offer, but many times it's not accepted. So that's why they come here in this church for over 200 years now, because here it's accepted, they're welcome here. People could express their culture and their faith. Posadas is one. Then we have the piñatas for the children, and that's a wonderful thing. Last week we had the Our Lady of Guadalupe Feast Day, which is a huge, a very meaningful event for Mexican people, Latino people. We remember it was in 1531 that Mary, the Mother of God, the Mother of Jesus, appeared to an Indian named Juan Diego. In the Tules there in Mexico, and she wanted a little a little house built in her name, a sacred house, so that people could come where she could receive them, and they can come with all of their problems, all of their sicknesses, their illnesses, etc. And then she would bless them. So again, it's close to our heart because we understand that at that time, it was during the conquest. Now we understand that 500 years ago, there was an indigenous people living in Mexico, and they were overthrown, okay, by the conquest. And so everything that they believed in, the people believed in, was in ruin. So they had no hope. So here she comes. God comes through again, sends Mary to this Indian to be a messenger. So we reenact that, or we give her thanks, and we remember that story. So here at this church, there were 50,000 people at one time. Say if you were here on December the 12th of 2008, here at the Plaza in Los Angeles, you'd be amongst 50,000 people. At least that's a conservative estimate.
Sure.
What is different that I see, every year the crowd gets younger, not because I'm older, but because there's a younger crowd. They're not necessary to go to church every Sunday. They bring their girlfriends and their wives and their children, and you see babies at 3 o'clock in the morning in arms or in a stroller with 50,000 people. I mean, you don't see that a lot in Staples Center. You don't see that a lot in Dodger Stadium. But you see that here. And in their hand, they have a bouquet of flowers to offer to the Virgin. I think that's something very beautiful. And they have a faith in her. And they are remembering and doing, exercising their culture. And we need to get it together ourselves as ministers, as missionaries, as priests and clergy. How do we serve the spiritual needs of these brothers and sisters that come, even if it's one time a year and spend all night? And it's a big party, too, because there's all kinds of bands all over the place. And for 24 hours, this place is jam-packed. And flowers everywhere. We have an image on a wall, a tile wall of the Virgin de Guadalupe. There's all these tons of flowers there and candles. And at night, it looks beautiful. That's the Our Lady of Guadalupe. So this place, it's a town square, let's say, of the immigrants.
That's one thing that Matt and I really wanted to touch on. This church, as much as it puts goodwill out there in terms of connecting with the Mexican community during the holy days, during the holidays, you're also pretty outspoken and politically active and not afraid to speak up and speak your mind when it comes to certain issues like that. But can you talk a little bit about why it's important for you to have your voice out there and make your opinions known?
It's very important because it's really what we preach. We got to walk the talk, yeah. And if we open up the New Testament and read Matthew chapter 25, where it says, "Clothe the naked, give food to the hungry, visit the in prison, welcome the stranger, and whenever you do this to any of the least of my brothers and sisters, you do it to me." Well, we take that to heart. You know, you can't just say, "Hey, that sounds really good." You got to really do it. And it faces us every single day. There are people, they're called strangers, or they're called immigrants. They come here to this church because it's familiar. People know of the church. We speak Spanish and English, and they automatically come here. They come here. Like an example, yesterday morning, a woman who sells flowers out here, she's a so-called illegal vending. She has a child, an infant child, and she couldn't make it here, so she went to another state. I forget which state. But on her way, she got on a bus, and then the immigration authorities came and arrested her. And okay, so she is from El Salvador. She's here without any papers. The baby, it was born in Mexico, so it's Mexican. So now, if we believe and we say that we denounce the separation of families because we believe that family is sacred. It never, never, never should be separated, okay? So what do? I feel like I have my hands set. Who can I go to advocate for this woman? She's complicated. She's from El Salvador. The baby's from Mexico. It makes me think, you know, these cases are complicated. Anyway, lots of people come to this church for financial help, for guidance, and for spiritual nourishment. So it's a wonderful place to practice what you preach. So yes, we're not afraid, because there's nothing to be afraid of, to talk in the truth. And the truth is that every human being is a child of God. And we want to respect, and we believe in the dignity of each person. And we're trying the hardest to live that out, okay? And if laws that need to be changed because they're broken, like the immigration reform, that needs to be corrected. And I'm really happy today, and many people in our circle of friends are really happy with the new administration that's coming up soon, because of the hopefulness that President Obama has in his choice of choosing people to be in his cabinet. Yesterday we got the news that Hilda Solis, an advocate of the immigrants, an advocate of the working class, was chosen to be a Secretary of Labor. And she's a good friend of ours, and we're going to ask her. She's got to come here and be blessed by us. Okay?
Great.
So it's a great place to be.
One thing just for me growing up, I'm from Pittsburgh and I was raised Catholic. It was always just it really felt like an event on Christmas Eve to go to a midnight mass and everything. What's a typical Christmas Eve and Christmas Day? What's a typical Christmas Eve and Christmas Day like for you, Padre?
Well, Christmas Eve is really special. It's usually always very cold, and we have a mass late at night, maybe 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock sometimes, and they call it Misa de Gallo. Mass of the Gallo would be
the rooster,
okay, the cock.
Yeah.
It's full church, it's warm, and people are dressed up, you know, and many times with the typical outfit of their country. And then we have a beautiful mass, and there's a nativity scene, it's all lit up. And then after mass is usually champurrado, which is, it's a drink, it's a warm drink made out of corn meal. It's wonderful. And little tamalitos, little tamales, you know, or little Mexican sweetbreads. So that's really nice to gather out on the patio, and then by a half hour, everybody's gone because it's so cold. And next day, it's like it's a Sunday. You know, people come and have all the masses, and it's really happy. So it's very special, and there's always a lot of children here, so it makes it very special. And I'm sure in Pittsburgh also, in every parish, they have their celebrations. And this celebration is very special because of our journey. We had the posadas the 9 days before Christmas, every night. If it could be raining, they will be here. And we have a little a pony. We rent a pony every night, and it goes around the block. Mary sits on the pony, little girl, dressed as Mary. She's on that pony, and Joseph is walking next to her, next to the pony. Mm-hmm. And then we sing a song. It's Give Me Posada. You know, I'm going to have a baby. And then they'll say, we're asleep. There's no room. And you do that for five or six places, and then finally say, it's okay, come on in. So then they sing the song, and out comes the tamales and the champurrado and the sweetbreads and the piñatas, and it's fun. Okay.
Wow. So, I'd been coming, I spoke to you last week, and you invited me down, and I had been coming and seeing all the events. Like, I came to the, I believe it was Orquestra Juvenil, mm-hmm. and the next evening was, I think it was the dancing.
Oh,
and then it was the young girls, and like through different ages dancing. There were the very little girls, and then sort of as they grew, and then it got sort of more traditional. Like the young girls were just dancing to Rudolph Red-Nosed the Reindeer,
right.
and then by the time it was like teenagers, they were dancing to like a more traditional Mexican like music. But there was a couple things that I didn't know about. The first was the children sort of dressing as grown-ups with they would have sort of the traditional Mexican garb, and then like young boys with mustaches and beards drawn on it. And I was wondering what that was.
Okay, yeah, very good. Well, thank you for asking that. This was during the time of Semana Guadalupana, which the Guadalupe week.
Yeah.
First night was on Monday, the 8th of December. We had the traditional mariachis. We had about close to 100 mariachis come, and they played to the Virgin as a offering, and we blessed them and gave them a medal and a certificate. And the idea is that mariachis are really part of our culture. They go to the weddings, they go to the quinceañeras, they go to the funerals, they go to the masses. So, you know, and they stand around even in corners. There's a place here, and I invite you to go. It's called Mariachi Plaza. Have you heard of Mariachi Plaza? That's where they hang out. And you can go rent some, you know, for your party. And they'll go. And so we thought, you know, we're gonna really give them recognition. So they came. And they played. The second night was the Aztec dancers, or the matachinas, they called. And there was about 50, and they were the big drums with the feathers, and so that was great. And then that night was children. And now, that night was the 9th, I believe, of December, which is the feast day of Juan Diego. He's become a saint. Juan Diego had a mustache, they say, a little beard, and he was dressed, he was a peasant. So little boys, they dress him up like little peasants with his little white pants, and they put a mustache on him and a bandana. And little girls, they dress up like little Mexican outfit. So that night, it was beautiful. There was these little children, and then they progressed, they got a little older, and it's very nice. So. You know, the plaza across the street where we were there, I like to look at it this way. With a gentrification that's going on around here, you know, there's buildings, constructing, it's developing, but yet we want to maintain the integrity of the historical birthplace of this city. So we're always going to be bucking the system. So we need to embrace progress, but at the same time keep our tradition. And our tradition is going to develop, just like Our Lady of Guadalupe, you always think mariachis. Well, the mariachis are in church. Mariachis are or like at the plaza, but these 50,000 people, at one time there were 9 different bands, brass bands with big horns and drums. 4 hours they'd play straight. And it was a big party, people were dancing. And I was inviting them, I'd go up to them and the crowd, you know, had make my way to look for the leader. And the city gave us a stage with light on it. It was wonderful. But they didn't want to get on the stage. They liked, right? So this is a young culture, but still they had this little bouquet of flowers for the Virgen. I think that's really great. So anyway, what I want to say is that keeping that plaza and opening it up for being a plaza where the people could come and entertain and be entertained in a familiar way. It doesn't have to look like Disneyland or the Grove. We don't have to have Taco Bell.
Right.
There, when we have, they sell burritos and they sell taquitos, you know, homemade. No, we want the real stuff. Tourists come and they want to get that flavor.
Right.
Now they don't want to go to Taco Bell. Okay, so we're always going to be bucking the system, and it is a center, the birthplace of this wonderful city of ours.
Well, Father, thank you again so much for taking the time out of your busy day to speak with us. On behalf of myself, Matt, and the rest of the Pussyfoot family, we want to thank you and wish you happy holidays. Is there anybody that you would like to wish happy holidays to? We like to give people kind of an open forum here before signing off.
Well, let's see. I'd like to, first of all, wish everyone listening that in these troubled times, of economic times, all the wars going on and so forth, and the immigrants and people that are being detained and separated and so forth, let's keep the hope. There is a God that really is whatever way we want to describe a higher power or God who loves us and never going to give up on this, God's creation, and we're part of that creation. And let's just keep that up, celebrating the Christmas, Hanukkah, or whatever tradition is part of our history, is part of